shy little Uber, liver, liver, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. My name is Jill and I'm here with my favorite gardeners, Lance and Lulu. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Radio Land.
Hello, Radio Land. Yes, listeners, this is a call-in show, 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. If you've got a question or want to share some gardening tidbits, boy, we have come full circle. I mean, from planting to watering to harvesting, and here we are still harvesting, still getting ready to plant.
I'm still getting ready to plant.
Yes.
Yeah, garlic is, of course, everybody should have that on their mind.
Yes, and we're waiting for the root day
and
to happen.
Breath.
Yeah.
Yes, they should. Have garlic in your breath and in your heart.
Yeah.
And what's the tip for how deep do we want to go with that garlic?
Oh, well, I've been planting it 3 to 4 inches.
3 to 4 inches down.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I go 3 times the size of the clove.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's about
an easy
three
rule.
Or 4 inches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's usually about that.
Three or four inches. And it's also, if you're doing it in the row, it can be 12 inches. It can be 12 inches. I wouldn't go any farther as far as distance between rows, then I'd plant them 4 inches apart, you know. And you can plant closer.
Okay.
Yeah, you can plant closer. That caller last week, he wanted to stagger them a little bit closer.
Yeah, I've come up with an idea that I'm going to take one of my 4-inch square panel, whatever it is, cattle panel, hog panel, you know, the rigid fence. I'm going to put that down, and I'm going to go every other
four there you
square
go. Your own
leave,
grid.
Yeah, and then leave 4 inches between a row that has 4 inches in between, but have like three times 12. So I'll have about a foot of a solid row staggered of garlic, and then leave an open space to walk in, and then another row of the garlics close together. And Scott Horner gardens just on the other side of Phil's house on O Road, and he has this fabulous Reiki tool-y thing that he got from Europe somewhere, and he makes his rows just wide enough apart to get the hoe in so that they can cultivate
okay,
yeah, without hitting the garlic, and
lined up perfectly.
Yeah, and then that way you can have a row that's 3 or 4 cloves or whatever deep or wide, and you can still easily reach it from either side, and it makes it easy. There's all kinds of different ways to do it. You know, do whatever makes you happy.
Yeah.
Right, that sounds like a good way to organize it.
Yeah.
And once you get those cloves in the ground, do you need to put anything on top of the dirt to keep that spot warm, or they're just happy in the ground? Mm.
You don't generally have to, but some people do. And the reason why, and it's straw or hay. Mm-hmm. I don't see leaves, but leaves just blow away, really. But and they would do that for the freezing and thawing during the winter pushes those cloves up out of the ground.
Oh, okay.
And I had that happen once.
Where they just kind of rise and fall.
So if you get them in late, you might want to plant them a little deeper or put straw on there because they won't have a root system to hold them into the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
But generally what I do, because I have 2 cats, right? And so when I, you know, till up the soil and make it all lovely and put the garlic in, the cats think I just made them the perfect little, you know, kitty shitty place. And so I just cover it. I cover mine with a little bit of straw to discourage them.
To discourage the kitties.
I put, piece of metal. I've got all this odd pieces of wire and old fence and whatever, and I'll put that over it to keep them out. Because they won't, scratch and dig if there's obviously wire on it.
Right.
I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, the only other thing I've had problem with garlic is the birds are watching.
Oh, are they?
And
yeah.
They're curious, and I've had that happen, especially if it's planted shallow, that they will actually dig one up thinking it's food.
Oh, they watch and wait for you to...
Yeah, they leave, I leave, and they come and check it out.
Well, yeah, and they
crafty
also,
birds.
Right? Because, I mean, I'm sure you get this too, where you're gardening and you're turning over the dirt, and the robins or whatever birds are right there.
Yeah.
Yanking the worms out as fast as you're turning
them over. Now that's
a
partnership. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. They're into it. So they probably just are still thinking you're digging worms for them, Lance.
Yeah. Checking it out.
Yeah, right on. I'm going to Lance's garden.
I know.
All right, let's hear from a caller, 527-486-8166. KVNF now, what's going on in your late garden? And you're getting another bed ready to plant.
Yeah, I'm getting, I haven't done this for a number of years. It's when I have time. And this year I've had time. And I've actually got a bed ready, you know, my usual 4 feet wide, 50 feet long beds. And seven wheelbarrows of compost. And anyways, I will rake that out. It's actually all prepped. And then I'll rake it out and sometime in November. And I will plant that in Thanksgiving time. And I will plant lettuce and spinach and cilantro and parsley, among other things. I won't put carrots because carrots really don't like a hard frost in March. They'll do it a little bit, but it's really not that good. So
plus the dirt has to be warm enough. They won't germinate.
No.
So if they sit there for any length of time and get wet, they'll rot.
Yeah. 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 But anyways, these other ones, they'll sit there and they'll come up in March or early April.
And so they sit there all winter and they're just down there waiting to for the warm weather to come. And all of a sudden you've got plants cropping up in your garden.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll come up in, like I said, March or April. And it's... And those seeds, I don't want to say, like to be cold stratified.
Uh-huh.
They actually like
That's what kind of forces them to...
Yeah, they actually like being cold. And lettuce likes light. Don't plant lettuce too deep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a great thing. I never realized you could do that. Have something over winter and then all ready to come up in the
springtime.
Parsnips
do very good this way, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And spinach. Did you mention
spinach? Yeah, I did miss spinach, but... Yeah. Parsnips come up really good this way.
Okay, great. Lots hey, it looks like we've got Max in Montrose on the line that has some tidbits to share. Hi, Max.
Hey.
Max, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
The fall is just unbelievably cool. So neat.
Yeah, it's gorgeous out.
Anyway,
weather's great.
Yeah, we just did our garlic and stuff here last week, but I had some of this leftover 1-inch deer fence.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like a plastic kind of stuff.
But
none of the birds nor the chickens will go in there when that little thing is over where we put our garlic.
Okay.
It's something that you possibly could get from, like when people cover fruit trees and stuff.
Yeah, bird netting.
Yeah, but this is a little bit more strong.
Yeah, I've seen this. I've seen this.
But it's the same deal. It's just the same. It's a kind of a plastic little 1-inch mesh, very undisturbed, but the chickens won't go in there. The birds don't go in there.
And
if
you
can find some of that stuff and just row it, put it right on top of your garlic and anything else that you wish to come up, none of the birds or chickens, deer, won't even go in there.
Wow. Huh.
All right. Well, that's a great thing to share.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we use Remay, but that's in a different, you know, perspective of what we're doing. Okay? But that's only to keep the chickens out of stuff that's, like, already done, like the kale and stuff that we've got coming up, or has been going. And when you let them out of the coop, they just like, woo! They won't touch anything. They didn't even go into the garden until we started killing it to get ready for the garlic. It's like a 1-inch square plastic thing. You just put it down over the top of them. And for some reason, birds and the chickens, even the deer won't go in there and try to go through it.
Yeah, they don't want to tangle their feet up.
Right. A little smart. Yeah. Well, natural repellent there. That's great.
Mm-hmm. And it lasts forever.
All right. Well, thank you, Max. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Great.
Bye. Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks for the call.
And
talking about veggies and things planting over winter and planting the garlic, you do some food storage for the winter, Lance, and you've got a method to how you store that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want to share that? I store
all my root crops except for the onions and garlic and potatoes. And potatoes will be good in this, but the onions and garlic They need a little bit drier condition.
Mm-hmm.
But I dig a trench about 12 inches deep and about 16 inches wide, and I line that with straw. And then I go throughout the garden and I harvest carrots, beets, kohlrabi, radishes. Daikons do really good in there. The parsnips do really good in there. And I trim them so that there's about an inch of top, mm-hmm. but I don't scrub them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I layer that in there all mixed up so that when I go back in the wintertime, I have a mixture of vegetables. And that way, after that's all in there, I cover it with straw again, cover it with dirt, and I put bales of hay on that top of that. And then the waterproof that, because if you don't waterproof the bales of hay, they'll freeze solid with snow, and then you can't get to your ground stuff. So I actually have pieces of old metal roofing that goes on top of that.
Oh, okay.
And I dig those things out clear into March.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's
wow.
great.
That's kind of cool. That's like automatic little root cellar.
Yeah, it's an automatic. Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
How natural can you be?
I will eventually have a root cellar
mm-hmm.
and stuff, but this is what I'm doing. And the other one I'm doing is I store cabbage, and I take all the outer leaves off, and then I store them roots and all in the 5-gallon planting buckets of sand, moist sand. And I cover them in blankets. I have I call it the garden house or garden room, and I cover them in blankets so they don't get sunlight. And that room stays about 30 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And I'll water them every 2 weeks or so.
Oh, wow.
Just moist, just to stay moist.
And so your cabbage is wintering over for you as well.
Yes, and that will stay clear until March or early April also.
Your garden sounds like a very interesting place in the winter as well.
Yeah. See, that's I don't have, gardening in town, I don't have that space. And mm-hmm. even though we have a fabulous basement, we have all the utilities down there, and the floors are heated from underneath, so all the mm-hmm. hot water pipes.
So it's too warm.
It's too warm, uh-huh. yeah, mm-hmm. in our basement. And too moist, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But you do great things like drying your fruit
right.
and
right.
just storing it a right. lot differently.
That's the point I'm trying to make is that, some people can do what Lance is doing. And if you can't do that, freezing and drying is great.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. All kinds of different mm-hmm. ways. Just like mm-hmm. all kinds of different ways to go about your garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we've got Jess in Hotchkiss on the line with a question. Hi, Jess.
Hi there.
Hi.
I tuned in a little late, so I apologize if you said this already, but I'm wondering if you water your garlic after you plant it.
Oh, good question.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I'll water it. I'll water it in. And if it's really moist, maybe not, but...
Right.
If it's dry, I will water it. There might be some moisture this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I've heard?
Yeah, there's supposed to be.
Yeah, so go ahead and water it, and it'll be the only watering you need till probably in late March or early April.
Yeah,
okay.
if that, yeah.
Well,
you're welcome.
Thanks, Jess, for the call.
Yeah, if you have a garden that has great, southern exposure and it dries out, then you're going to have to pay attention and water mm-hmm. a little bit, but... Where I'm going to be planting in town, there's so much shade that I won't have to worry about it at all.
Mm-hmm. It's just going to stay cool.
Yeah.
And,
Once that sun gets super low like that, it's game over.
Mm-hmm.
You just hang out.
Yeah, it just stays wet.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, I love how the sun is changing and just all different areas of the yard are either getting sun or not getting sun. Love
just
to see that.
Beautiful. God. Yeah. The fall light, what's not let? It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. Hey, we've got Skip from Paonia on the line with a question. Hi, Skip.
Hey, guys. I feel a little stupid because I asked the same question several weeks ago, but then I forgot what the answer was.
Oh, no, that's not stupid.
I know what the question is.
All right.
What's his question, Lance?
How to winterize the grapes.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what I remember. I think I remember that I'm supposed to water it real good now and then trim it in the spring.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Okay. It goes into winter moist and you wouldn't trim it till late first or second week of April.
First or second week of April. I'm going to write it down this this time.
Water now, trim in spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to make sure that it goes to bed wet so that it can be, it can resource that moisture a little bit when it comes to in the spring. Yeah. But you also want to make sure that you trim it before it comes to, and the grapevines will leak
before
an amazing amount of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my grapevines after pruning grow about 12 to 14 feet.
Whoa. Yeah. Really? Oh, wow. After you prune them?
After I prune them.
Wow, that's going crazy.
Yeah.
Is that all?
Some are more. Yeah. Some are more.
Grapevine slam down here.
If they have a good trellis system, or somehow they can get into a tree.
Oh yeah.
Then they really, they'll go 20 feet or so.
Wow. Yeah. Great.
I have one right now that's up in a tree you can't believe. Yeah. And the leaves on it are as big as a dinner plate. They're huge.
Yeah.
Oh, I think your backyard's going to be transformed next summer, Skip.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a tree, but I have a good trellis and a fence that'll probably take over.
There you go. Go
all
for
right,
it.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Skip.
Yep. See you, Skip.
All right. Hey, what about the broccoli report, Lulu?
It's still making broccoli, but now I have something. Okay. Did I ask you about this last week? Why does my broccoli grow sideways before it grows up?
No, I don't know that.
I don't either.
Oh, the stem, when you first plant it, it's gathering strength. My cabbage do the same thing.
Well, I mean, you know.
They don't go up. They go sideways.
Sideways and then up. You know, and so I'm telling you, I really have to have a chat with my broccoli because it's in the way. It doesn't stay nice in its row. It goes everywhere.
You've had a wild year with that broccoli.
I really have that broccoli, I'm telling you.
Mind of its own. Yeah. Head of its own.
Yeah, a head of its own. But I'm going to grow that variety for until it starts to look like I need to grow something else, you know, because you shouldn't probably plant the same thing over and over. But, that DeCiccio, that Italian.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm. Yeah, gift
perfect.
From the gods.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So sweet, so delicious.
All right. Hey, we've got Eric on the line from Montrose. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
What's going on?
Actually, I'm from Norwood. I don't know.
Oh, Norwood.
I might have got it wrong or they did whatever.
Okay.
I called last week about the garlic.
Thank
you for all the information. They're in. I couldn't wait till next weekend. I'm going to be busy, but
that's okay.
I was, I heard about the trenching cold storage.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And there was a brief mention of potatoes.
Uh-huh.
So you would dig your potatoes and then put them back in the ground?
Yeah, yeah.
How deep are you doing that? Because I don't have a root cellar either, and I struggle with this every year.
It's about 12 inches or so deep.
Okay.
And it's the width is about 16. And you could go wider, but if you go wider and you're putting bales of hay on it.
Yeah.
If you go too wide, the frost is going to come in from the sides.
Okay.
From the bales, because the bales are only so big.
Right.
All right. And the only reason why I don't put potatoes in it, because I like them more available. But they'll store, they need 90% humidity. So they do really good with those carrots.
Well, so do you dig them and put them somewhere else? Or you leave them in the ground just where they
were? No, I actually store my potatoes in boxes.
Okay.
And they're in that garden room again.
Mm-hmm.
And actually what I do is I put buckets of water around them
for
the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And,
okay.
and then I cover them with sheets or blankets.
Because I've been experimenting with just leaving them in the ground and mulching heavily and going out there and digging them.
Yeah.
It works a little bit. And I'm just, you know, as far as replanting them the next year, you know, as seed potatoes, I'm wondering if this trench method would
For storage? Sure.
Storage to eat and to have seed potatoes the next year.
Yeah, at the back end of my trench, I put my stuff, I'm biennials and stuff, that I'm going to plant out for seed crops.
Mm-hmm.
I can do potatoes out there. I'll do carrots. I'll put the beets, whatever. They'll be at the one end, and that will be the back end. I'm not going to eat those. I'm going to plant those.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so when do you pull them out? Right before you
plant
them?
You'll know when ground gets warm and stuff starts to sprout.
Okay.
You'll know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you take them out, let them sit out for a couple weeks?
You could. The potatoes,
yeah.
The first of all, it's storing them in the ground like you have where they were grown. If your ground is really dry, it works really good if you mulch it.
Right.
But if it gets moist, they can rot.
Okay. So you can store them that way to reseed them the next year.
Yeah. You can store them in the ground. But when you're going to plant, save your potatoes for seed. There's a term called greening or chitting. Mm. And you actually let those potatoes turn green in indirect sunlight. You know, I just have them in a room someplace, and they'll get short, stubby sprouts.
Yeah.
Those are much more productive than the long, lanky ones.
Okay. So that's after digging them in the spring.
Yeah.
You've left them in all year.
Yeah.
You pull them up, you let them do that. I've heard that too.
Yeah.
All right. But all right. So for storage to eat them throughout the winter is straw.
Oh, that
a 12-inch trench with straw and...
It's straw, and then your layers of vegetables. One layer. You don't pile the vegetables
up. I don't have anything but potatoes.
Okay. Yeah, you can just do straw, and then...
Okay. I'm going to try that.
And straw on top of it, dirt, and then the bales of hay.
And the hay bale. Okay.
Yeah, and the trench can be as long as you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that was... Yeah, all right. Great. Thanks
right.
again.
Thanks, right. Eric. Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay. Yeah. We probably have time for one more call, 527-486-8186 KVNF. Now, Lulu, I wanted to ask you about something you're kind of harvesting a little bit in, I'm going to say pieces, because you've harvested the greens from your beets, but not your beets yet.
But not my beets. Yeah, but that's just because I have so much to do. So I wanted to get the beet greens in and get those frozen. I froze 5 bags of 4 cups each of beet greens and the stems. I use the stems as well.
Uh-huh.
Some people prefer to use just the leaves, but I like the stems. And so, and I chop them really small.
Okay.
So that works. And then I just blanch them and freeze them.
Okay.
You know, and then the
beets. You leave the beets in the ground.
Yeah, well, you know, the beets are being shaded by that terribly unruly broccoli. And so they'll just hang out. And the broccoli, of course, can take a frost like crazy. And it's the broccoli report is, yes, they're still coming. So they're going to get to hang out. So I think the next thing that I'm probably going to harvest is either going to be sorrel or the collard greens. But I think it's going to be the sorrel. Because if I get the sorrel out, I can keep the chickens off the collard greens, and I can let the chickens start to go to work.
There you go.
Yeah, they need to get a little work in.
So I'm curious on those beet greens. You just cut them all off about an inch or so above the beets?
It would be really easy if I did it that way, so naturally I make it hard on myself.
Okay, so you're picking them one at a time, the outside, the bigger leaves.
Yeah, I pick the bigger leaves off, and then there'll be a few smaller leaves left right on the top, on the crown. But, you know, they're kind of a pain in the neck to process anyway.
Oh, the real small ones.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that they're a pain in the neck, but it's that, you know, you've got to have all the stems going in the same direction so you can chop them up. You have to be real kind of OCD about it. but it's worth it, right? Because you end up with all this great
food all winter.
Yeah, all winter long.
Yep. Absolutely.
Jill, I did want to mention something about the pear slug.
From last week.
Those rascals.
I looked it up in the book, and I had two books, and which is really funny. Both of them are from Rodale Press, and one said pear slug. It was under pear slug. The other one was under cherry slug, and that was sort of funny.
Yeah, the same thing.
But a very simple way is those larvae or nymphs or whatever, they crawl down onto the ground and around the base of the tree within the drip line, the outside branches in towards the trunk. That's where they winter over.
Okay.
And they said cultivate. Cultivate no deeper than 2 inches because you don't want to hit the roots of the tree. But cultivate it now. Those things, well, the birds will come and eat them and they'll winter kill.
Okay.
And then come back again at bloom time. In the spring and do it again.
Okay.
And you'll probably get 50 or 80%.
You're just bringing them to the surface to either be eaten
or die.
Yeah, and whatever's left is a little bit easier spraying on the trees.
Right. Great advice, because I noticed that after we talked last week, I do have that on my my pear tree. I think that's exactly what's going on. So
I don't have any. I have holes just like that on my morning glories that are almost dead, but yeah, same exact like thing, but only on one leaf. So maybe they just got confused.
Yeah. Hey, I think we've got one more caller on the line, Reiner from Montrose. Hi, Reiner.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Hi. What's going on?
Hey. It's always great. Yeah, you know, just a little suggestion, just to throw one at you. You know, the people that have this problem with this root cellar, I don't know root cellar. You know what? Go to your local concrete guy, call them up and see if they've got a old concrete blanket that they don't use, they don't need or don't use, or buy them for $5, $10, $20, whatever, and talk to them, say, you know, and use those and actually put them over your root crops, like your carrots and your beets. So I keep my beets. I mean, sometimes, even like all the way up till spring, it's like crazy. I got beets in spring and carrots in springtime, and they're still
that's
good.
Awesome.
So, anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. Those,
that's a great idea.
Those
so,
cement blankets.
Yeah.
Are really thick.
Yeah, you know, just something, you need something simpler, like if you wind up like with old wood, you know, like old sheets of plywood or something like that, so it's good to throw those over the top of it. You know, and in the wintertime, you just pick them up, go dig, and then put it back down again, you're fine. So.
That's another simple way to do that.
That's fabulous.
And I didn't even think about the cement cloths. I've never used it. But it's a big thick material.
Some of it's like 2, 3, 5 inches thick, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, it's easy enough to keep clean and shovel. And
it's durable.
Nice well.
All right.
Well,
thanks.
Cool beans.
Thanks.
You guys have a good one.
Yeah, thanks, Reiner, for that tidbit. Right. And again, here we go. Just finding stuff around the yard and making it work in your garden. And yes, another half hour has flown by.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. It's going to be November next week. And back next Tuesday at 6:30. Lance, Lulu, thanks for sharing your gardening expertise.
Oh, what fun.
Yeah,
we're having a good time down here.
Yeah. Thanks, callers. And we'll see you next week on As the Worm Turns.
Okay.
Good night.
And turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight neon. You've got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.